we need to talk about global warming because I am enjoying the freezing cold weather here in Michigan. And, well, you know, I just think that we need to talk a little bit about global warming, right? There's a new bill out in California that would require science curriculum to include climate change. Now, let me say one thing off the top here. I wouldn't have a huge problem with that if it really was bipartisan. If it's a really bipartisan thing where they say, let's have a week's discussion, a pure scientific debate about global warming. Is it there? Is it not there? If that's the case, I'm fine with it. If it's a thing where you're only going to talk about, oh, here are the signs and global warming is real, and let's watch Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth, then we've got a problem. So let's read the story here. A Silicon Valley lawmaker is gaining momentum with a bill that would require, quote, climate change to be among the science topics that all California public school students are taught. The measure by Senator Joe Simation, Democrat out of Palo Alto, also would mandate that future science textbooks approved for California public schools include climate change. You can't have a science curriculum that is relevant and current if it does not deal with the science behind climate change. This is a phenomenon of global importance, and our kids ought to understand the science behind that phenomenon. The state senate approved the bill by a vote of 26-13. It heads now to the state assembly. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has taken numerous actions to reduce global warming, but he has yet to weigh in on this bill. Other Republicans in the Capitol, however, are not happy about the proposal. Some say the science on global warming isn't clear, while others worry the bill would inject environmental propaganda into classrooms. I find it disturbing that this mandate to teach this theory is not accompanied by a requirement that the discussion be science-based and include a critical analysis of all sides of the subject. Now, I don't know. That was, by the way, Tom McClintock, Republican on Thousand Oaks. I don't know the specifics behind this bill, but if you teach anything in school, it has to be bipartisan. It has to be taught with all sides being shown. That is a requirement of virtually any curriculum. And if you're going to teach climate change in school, you have to have it set up where here's the science for it, here's the science against it. Let's watch An Inconvenient Truth. Now let's have someone give a PowerPoint about the falsities in An Inconvenient Truth, because there are a ton of them. I've given a PowerPoint about it before. So if you're going to do it, you have to do it right, which is to give both sides of it and then have a spirited discussion about it. That is the correct way to teach it. Now, you can't do it where you have a book filled with, like this guy says, global warming, environmental propaganda, which is global warming exists, here's the science, the end of the chapter, let's take the test. It's got to be, here's the science one side, here's the science on the other side, let's watch the video, let's do a PowerPoint, you know, discussing the falsities in the video, let's do have a discussion about it, do both sides of it. You can't have a truly, science is not all about, very rarely is science 100% certain on anything. It's because science changes so rapidly, and you can do so many different tests to find different things, that science is never, but rarely 100% confident, 100% certain on anything. And to think that global warming is this 100% certainty via science is ridiculous, because it's not. I've looked at the science. I've done a PowerPoint about the science against global warming. That's just the fact. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes, and I don't know. All the Republicans in the California Senate want a guarantee that the skepticism of global warming will be taught, and it should be. We'll follow up on this. We'll see if that happens, and then we'll talk to you about it. Maybe we'll get a hold of a congressman or a senator out in California, and we'll have a little discussion about it. Next story, Maryland's climate plan would be the nation's boldest. Basically, the Maryland governor wants to just, sink their country, because you got to listen to some of this stuff. A proposal to address climate change by adopting the nation's most ambitious plan to reduce greenhouse gases went before Maryland lawmakers Tuesday. The governor lent his backing to the bill, but industry and union officials warned that the plan could hurt the state while doing little to stop climate change. The bill before lawmakers would require Maryland to slash emissions of carbon-based greenhouse gases by 25% by 2020 and 90% by 2050. If adopted, the carbon reductions would be the nation's steepest. It's just not going to happen. That is too steep. You know, when you're looking at global warming, I understand that on the one side of it, there's this alarmism that we're going to die if we don't do something in 8 years, that the world's going to blow up. I understand that. But you have to look at what is humanly possible to do. And cutting emissions by a quarter in 12 years is not a reachable goal. By cutting emissions in 42 years, by 90% is not a reachable goal. You can put these numbers down in a bill and hope for it, but you have to look and study and see if it's even possible. The bill before law, Governor Martin O'Malley backed the proposal Tuesday, saying Maryland is particularly vulnerable to sea level rise because of its more than 3,000 miles of shoreline. We know that we are facing a crisis, and the only way to get out of that crisis is to set goals and put them in legislation. The governor's support, offered after a meeting with environmental activists at the State House, was a major boost to the bill's chances, but as the Senate committee began work an hour later combing through the proposal, it became clear the measure faces serious opposition. Even administration officials behind the bill conceded that they don't know whether it's possible to achieve 90% reduction without the invention of new technology. So they basically said, we really don't think that 90% is even possible unless we invent something new, but we're going to do it anyways. Why would you put that in the bill without the invention of new technology? Like what? And they also told senators they don't even know what the invention of that new technology is. They just hope, you know, some new technology is going to have to be invented for this to happen. Well, what is it? Well, I don't know. Hell if I know. Also, they told senators it would be better if the whole nation or all nations took similar measures. Yeah, it would actually make an impact then. If Maryland, which, by the way, I don't know if you've seen Maryland on a map lately. It's the puniest. It's like, it may be, I think, maybe the third small state in the union, or maybe the fourth. It's in the top 10. A puny little state. Them cutting their emissions by 90% isn't going to do squat. Nothing. It's literally going to do nothing. Because as long as nobody else adopts those policies and the other states continue to produce more emissions, it's just going to be offset and canceled by the other emissions. It's going to do squat. This is the kind of thing where if you really believe in global warming, you wouldn't take a federalist stance on it. You would want the country as a whole to do something, because if each individual state does something, it's going to do nothing. You have to do it as a whole. Now, I don't think you should. Federal government should not mandate that. State governments shouldn't even do that. But if you're going to do it, you're going to have to do it on a large scale to make even a sliver of an impact, because China now produces more emissions than we do. China is the culprit now. And you got to put pressure on them. You got to do something even globally if you want to do anything. So next story up about global warming. Neighbors battle in court over redwood trees that shade solar panels. I am not making this up. In an environmental dispute seemingly scripted for eco-friendly California, of course California again, a man asked prosecutors to file charges against his neighbors because their towering redwood trees blocked sunlight to his backyard solar panels. But the couple next door insisted they should not have to chop down the trees to accommodate Mark Vargas's energy demands because they planted the redwoods before he installed the solar panels in 2001. Experts say such clashes could become more common as California promotes renewable energy and solar systems become more popular. 5 or 10 years ago, you wouldn't have seen this case because there weren't that many systems around, said Frank Schiavo, a retired environmental studies professor at San Jose State University. I can almost guarantee there are going to be more conflicts. After more than 6 years of legal wrangling, a judge recently ordered Richard Trenner and his wife Carolyn Bissett to cut down 2 of their 8 redwoods, citing an obscure state law that protects a homeowner's right to sunlight. Apparently, in California, you have a right to sunlight. What a ridiculous law. What if there is a month of cloud cover? Can you sue Mother Nature and say, hey, I in California have a right to sunlight and I don't appreciate your cloud cover. Get it out of here. That's ridiculous. You'd not have a right to sunlight. No one has a right to sunlight. Not in your property. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. The couple does not plan to appeal the ruling because they can no longer afford the legal expenses, but they plan to lobby state lawmakers to change or scrap the law. The Solar Shade Control Act means that homeowners can suddenly become a criminal the day the trees grow big enough to shade a solar panel. The Solar Shade Control Act. Basically, you want to build some trees on your property because you like the shade. You've got to, it's your property. You can do whatever the heck you want to it. You pay taxes on it. You bought the property. You built the house. You paid for the tree. Oh, but once that tree gets too big to shade your liberal, crazy neighbor's solar panels, oh, you can no longer keep that tree up. Regardless of the fact that you bought it, it's on your property. It's by your house. You pay the taxes on the property, etc., etc. You have to cut it down because your crazy hippie neighbor needs sunlight to power his house. Why don't you put the solar panels in the front of the house? Why don't you put them on top of the house? Why don't you just get rid of them? It is ridiculous. This is what's happening. Is it this idea of global warming, this feardom of global warming, is making everyone go to extreme lengths, such as making their neighbors cut down trees because their solar panels can't get light. It is ridiculous. It is nuts. The case marks the first time a homeowner has been convicted of violating the law, which was enacted 3 decades ago when a few homeowners had solar systems. The law requires homeowners to keep their trees or shrubs from shading more than 10% of a neighbor's solar panels between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. when the sun is strongest. Existing trees that cast shadows when the panels are installed are exempt, but new growth is subject to the law. So you have to apparently go out there with a flippin' protractor and measure the shade your tree is producing between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. to make sure that your neighbor's solar panels are not being shaded too much. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Talk about a nanny state. Residents can be fined up to $1,000 a day for violations, though the judge did not impose any fine against the Trenners. Vargas says the law protects his $70,000 investment in solar power, and he believes it should be strengthened. I think it's unfair that a neighbor can take away this source of energy from another neighbor, he said. I think, well, hey, the same thing for the trees. You would think that this guy, so environmentally friendly, would want more trees in the world because they get rid of carbon emissions. They suck in CO2, but no. I want the trees cut down so I can steal the sun's shade. I can steal the sun's light, and then I can power my house. Screw you, live in the dark, or use power like the rest of us. Trenner, a retired engineer, said he and his wife are not against solar power, but we think there's a rational way to implement it. Solar power is growing rapidly in California, blah de blah de blah de blah de blah. Basically, this is the government overstepping their boundaries. This is the government forcing you to do something on your property that the government has no right to force you to do. The government has no right to dictate how many trees, how tall those trees are on your property. No right whatsoever. You pay the taxes to them. You bought the property. You should have the right to pick what trees you want on your property, how tall they can be, what they shade, what they don't want to shade. That is your right as a homeowner. That is your right as a taxpayer to pick what trees you want on your property. The government has absolutely no right to come in there and say, hey, your trees are blocking solar power. We need to get them cut down. No right. Moving on, and, you know, taking all this into account, the first three stories into account, I'm going to read you this story, and I want you to listen, because it's awesome. Over the past year, anecdotal evidence for a cooling planet has exploded. China has its coldest winter in 100 years, Baghdad sees its first snow in all recorded history, North America has the most snow cover in 50 years, with places like Wisconsin, the highest since record keeping began. Record levels of Antarctic sea ice, record cold in Minnesota, Texas, Florida, Mexico, Australia, Iran, Greece, South Africa, Greenland, Argentina, Chile, the list goes on and on. Did you hear me? The first snow in Baghdad ever, the most snow cover in 50 years in North America, record cold, record Antarctic sea ice, record cold in Minnesota, Texas, Florida, Mexico, Australia, Iran, Greece, South Africa, Greenland, Argentina, and Chile. No more than anecdotal evidence, to be sure, but now that evidence has been supplanted by hard scientific fact. All four major global temperature tracking outlets, have released updated data. All show that over the past year, global temperatures have dropped precipitously. A compiled list of all the sources can be seen at this link. I'll link it to you. The total amount of cooling ranges from 0.65 Celsius up to 0.75 Celsius, a value large enough to wipe out most of the warming recorded over the past 100 years, all in 1 year's time. For all four sources, it's the single fastest temperature change ever recorded, either up or down. Scientists, quoted in a past Daily Tech article, link the cooling to reduced solar activity, which they claim is a much larger driver of climate change than man-made greenhouse gases. The dramatic cooling seen in just 12 months' time seems to bear that out. While the data doesn't itself disprove the carbon dioxide is acting to warm the planet, it does demonstrate clearly that more powerful factors are now cooling it. Let's hope those factors stop fast. Cold is more damaging than heat. The mean temperature of the planet is about 54 degrees. Humans and most of the crops and animals we depend on prefer a temperature closer to 70. Historically, the warm periods, such as the medieval climate optimum, were beneficial for civilization. Corresponding cooling events, such as the Little Ice Age, though, were uniformly bad news. Have you heard this yet? I guarantee you haven't heard this yet. No one's reporting on this. I haven't heard it. I watch a lot of news. I read a lot of websites. No one is reporting on this, because you know why? This would completely halt the cash machine for the liberals. Global warming's a huge cash machine. Brings in a lot of money. In fact, global warming alarmism, more is spent on that than global warming skepticism. But the fact that this is my point here, is that we're rushing into the government spending billions upon billions of dollars on global warming. States harming automakers to reduce emissions, which, by the way, reducing emissions in cars, going to hybrid, going to other things, a ton of money for research, a ton of money for building, and it takes a long time, and a ton of money for the car. You're hurting the business, you're hurting the consumer. You're hurting the two biggest things, really, in this country. Who's profiting the most from those things? The government. Because what's going on here? We rushed into this idea of global warming. We've already spent a lot of money on it. We've proposed bills to spend a lot of money on it. We've proposed bills to basically force businesses to do something which can harm them in the long run, and they'll just move the heck out of here. We're forcing businesses away with this idea. We're hurting consumers because we're making automakers build cars that cost more to make, thus they are going to cost more to buy. And all for what? The fact that in a year after we went into this huge state of alarm over global warming, it's one of the coldest years on record. Most snow cover in 50 years, first snow in Baghdad, coldest winters in 100 years in China, the coldest record levels of Antarctic sea ice, record cold in a ton of different states and a ton of different countries. Why? All because the sun's solar activity went down. Maybe global warming was all because the sun's solar activity went up in the last couple of years, but now it's back down, and now look at this, we're freezing our asses off. We've had a lot of snow here in Michigan, where I live. In fact, we had about 5 inches of snow earlier in the week, about 4 inches of snow this week. It's freezing cold outside, and it's almost March. In fact, it is March. So the idea that we've gotten into this heightened alert, this extremism, we've spent all this money for what? For nothing, because right now, it's freezing cold again.